you.
He submitted a more listed name, we're not here, real beauties on the table. Excellent, come on up.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the hearing panel today. And you might have to forgive me, I'm very bunged up with a cold at the moment. Real Journeys Limited wants to ensure that tourism is appropriately enabled in Southland because of the importance of the tourism industry to the economic well-being of Southland. Most of the primary industry submitters have asserted that agriculture is Southland's main economic driver and that it is becoming increasingly important to the region. Nevertheless, alongside primary production and primary processing, education and tourism are both key sectors in the region's economy. In fact, to the year ended December 2016, tourism made up 5.6% of New Zealand's GDP, ahead of dairies at 3.5%. In employment terms, a recent study estimated that only 40,000 plus people were directly employed in the New Zealand dairy industry, whereas the tourism industry directly employs 188,136 people in New Zealand as of March 2016, about 7.5% of the total employment, making the tourism industry a significant employer. The latest tourism statistics confirm Southland's success as a tourism destination, with visitors spending in the region over the last year more than they have in the last 6 years. Tourists across the province have spent $625 million, an increase of 9% Southland-wide guest nights worth up to 10.4%, and visitors spent $327 million, an increase of 15.1%. There were more than a million guest nights across Southland's region for the year up to the end of this May. To deliver our tourism products, Real Journeys owns 18 passenger vessels and will take delivery of another passenger vessel later in the year. And we also operate a further 5 vessels on behalf of other organisations. Hence, Real Journeys operates one of the largest vessel fleets in New Zealand and has a larger fleet than the Royal New Zealand Navy. 10 of these vessels are operated on Southland's inland waterways, in particular on Lakes Manapouri and Tiana in the Fiordland National Park. Accordingly, Real Journeys has a particular interest in ensuring vessel operation, including their maintenance, is provided for within any resource management planning document framework. Moreover, Real Journeys operates in several remote locations across the Southland region, and because of this remoteness, we must install and maintain infrastructure associated with provision of fresh water supplies, wastewater treatment and power generation facilities. Consequently, we want to ensure such provision of such infrastructure is appropriately provided for within the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan framework. specific proposed plan provisions, we support Don Moore's of Ralph Moore and Associates' suggestion regarding Rule 26B, that is, that the clause be amended to read that the discharge does not exceed 14,000 litres per week on a monthly average, and that clauses B7, 1 and 2 be deleted from the proposed plan. With respect to Rule 26B, 7, 1, for clarity, the proposed plan glossary will also need to define bed of a lake, river and modified watercourse. Real Journeys is opposed to the requirement to collect such detailed water data on a daily basis as proposed in Rule 49A, 7 and Rule 54, 4. Because most of the meters needed to collect this type of data are electronic, and such meters do not perform well in the damp fiordland environment. Nevertheless, we do accept that the collection of daily data may have benefit in more arid areas in Southland. As stated in my evidence, Real Journeys contends that the navigational safety provisions should be more widely incorporated into the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan framework. The following activities have the potential to result in navigational hazards, hence we contend the relevant proposed Southland Water and Land Plan rules need to include navigation safety as one of the matters that must be considered, as the monitoring and sampling structures, boat ramps, jetties and wharves, bridges, dams and weirs, moorings and signs, navigational aids, white bait stands, alteration and extension of structures, gravel extraction and demolition and removal of structures. Real Journeys also has some concerns around the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan framework providing for bed disturbance activities which are required to maintain access to slipways and boat ramps. Specifically, we contend these activities should be provided for in Rule 66, maintenance of structures, as maintaining vessel access to such infrastructure is essential to the ongoing operation of our vessels, because vessel shafts, running gear and sea cocks usually must be inspected every 2 years to keep a vessel compliant. Water quality. As a company with a history of advocating for high environmental standards, Real Journeys is concerned that the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan will not arrest the decline in water quality in Southland, and we wish to advocate for a proposed Southland Water and Land Plan framework which will improve water quality across the Southland region. Real Journeys also has selfless reasons for supporting measures to improve water quality in Southland, because headlines highlighting the decline in freshwater quality in New Zealand are not good for the New Zealand tourism industry.
Thank you very much for that. I'll see if we have questions. I just note that in the written material you provided your views on a number of provisions that you didn't actually submit on originally.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, but we can't really ask you too much about that because it wasn't in the original submission. But We'll see if we have any other questions for you. Lloyd?
The only question I really have is goes back to your original submission, and you've mentioned it in your other the information given us today, is how do you manage the slipways and keep that clear, and did you have any wording that you would suggest could actually accommodate your concern there? Because I understand how the lake works and what happens in the gravel movement, but I also understand that you need to be able to take boats out and service them.
And we've always been uncomfortable about the definition of maintenance of structures, particularly with the Tauwera slipway, where we're right next to the dock office, getting in there with a digger, moving mounds and mounds of gravel, and it's like, how does this fit? But we have undertaken that work under the maintenance of structures for decades now, but it always makes us feel slightly uncomfortable.
So just for clarification, I believe the rails are already there and all you're doing is removing it down to a point of access onto those rails, is that correct?
Yeah. But because sometimes we're not using the structure for a whole 12 months, the amount of gravel that can build up is, you know, hundreds of cubic metres that you have, we have to get a digger into the water to shift. And, you know, we do all the things like making sure that the digger's been clean before it goes into the waterway, if they have to go into the waterway. And also we have to get somebody in a wetsuit going down with a shovel where you're close to the rails to uncover the rails.
Thank you, Major Point.
I'm pretty clear. Thank you for your submission. I hope you get over the flu. It can take 4 weeks.
Yes, there are people walking around Real Journeys that have had it for more than 4 weeks.
Good morning. Are there other operators besides yourself with ramps in these lakes and waterways?
Well, there are the public ramps, and like the ramp at Home Creek is now in use by the Manapouri Boating Club, and we know because that used to be one of our structures that the silt from Home Creek itself builds up on that ramp, and that at times we have to get in and remove it. The public boat ramp adjacent to the tower where a slip also gets accumulations of gravel, so it's not only ourselves, and also with the tower where a slip, the provision of our concession is we must make it available for larger vessel owners.
Thank you. And regards to sewage facilities or toilets and what have you, is that for your vessels or?
No, it's mainly talking about Te Anau Caves, but we also manage the Deep Cove Outdoor Education Trust wastewater treatment plant in Deep Cove, but that of course discharges into the coastal environment. But my main concern is around Te Anau Caves.
So DOC will have many of those as well on there?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But most of their, I gather from like most of their huts, it all goes into pots and they fly it all out, the waste.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I should declare that I do know Fiona because she's on the conservation board that I'm on as well, although I've had nothing to do with the submission, obviously.
Yeah.
As the Chairman noted, at your paragraph 7 there, where you refer to Rule 26, you didn't actually submit on Rule 26.
I know. That was only when I was reading Section 42A report, I went, oh, damn.
Right.
I should have read those things more carefully.
You did comment on Policy 15, which relates to natural state waters.
Yes.
So discharges from the Te Anau Cave go into Lake Te Anau, obviously, so natural state water. So is that?
So that's always been our frustration, is We've upgraded the wastewater treatment plant and now we have an AES system up there. But prior to that, it was discharged using sprinklers onto the forest floor, and we would take measurements in the unnamed stream, which is like the boundary, the northern boundary of our lease area and in Lake Te Anau. And so we took these measures, but it was like, well, how do we know we're compliant? Because it says natural state waters, but it doesn't actually quantify what it means, what's acceptable with natural state waters. And like, there were times we would get, high E. coli readings and, we all had to presume that there was a dead possum or something nearby. But so we put in our results to Environment Southland, but we were like, no idea whether we were actually compliant. With the new resource consent for the new wastewater system, we don't have to test the waters of Lake Te Anau, but we're still testing the waters of the unnamed stream.
Which would be a natural state water as well,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Mm. Okay, Arno, well, you can soon have a look at that, so thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Just in terms of the issue you raised about your slipways and the removed gravel, it appears to me that if we were to consider amending Rule 56 so that it referred explicitly to slipways, and Rule 66 so that it referred explicitly to excavation, that would remove a lot of your concerns,
yes.
I think. And certainly, this is quite technical, but in terms of the Resource Management Act, activities on the beds of lakes are controlled under Section 13, and the Act in Section 13 does explicitly refer to excavations.
So yes.
I certainly think we have scope to improve the rule in that regard and meet your concerns.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks very much for coming in and presenting all the material to us. That's the end of the submitters that we had scheduled for this morning, so we'll now adjourn until 12:45.